What's up, guys? Faruqi Brothers here, back with another Built Different stream, our second stream. We're very happy that you guys are joining us. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving weekend. Samir's just running a little late, but he'll be here momentarily. And our boy Umar, he's been busy. He's booked and busy as always. So he might not be here the whole time, but you already know for the time he will be here, there's going to be some insights as always. So let's just get right into it and discuss kind of the biggest news of the week, and we'll start with The Mandalorian. I think we all know when The Mandalorian started 2 years ago, it was like a big deal. It was a big deal for Star Wars fans to get a different side away from the main Skywalker line, away from the main movies, and get something more grounded, a little more with the material we know as Star Wars fans and the kind of stuff we love. And it's interesting that, you know, not only do we all love Star Wars, but we have people on our team who are experts of Star Wars as well and who have been lifelong fans. And if you've been reading on comicbookdebate.com, you'll know that one of our newest writers, Sean, he's been writing every single Mandalorian review, and he's been putting in the work and giving great insight, great analysis every single week. So we thought if we're going to be talking Mandalorian, if we're going to be talking Ahsoka Tano, we're going to be talking Baby Yoda, Grogu, as the name was now, hey, why not bring Sean on board? And especially while we're waiting for Samir, Matt, even better, we'll just get Sean in right now. So let's let him in.
Hey, guys. Sean, what's up, brother? You hear us? Hey, yeah, I can hear you fine. Good to be here, guys.
Awesome, man. So again, we want to thank you so much for, you know, sharing your insights, sharing your reviews on the site. Our readers love it. We know we love it, the bros and I. But, you know, before the bros give our thoughts on the episode, let's talk about your love for Star Wars. Let's get right into, like, where did your love for Star Wars start and how did it lead you here?
Yeah, so I've been a Star Wars fan for, 14, 15 years now. Kind of started as a child. My uncle was a big Star Wars fan. He had like those original like Kenner toys and just started showing me the movies when I was younger. My parents aren't really Star Wars fans, so that love kind of blossomed from elsewhere. But as the years grow on, you know, just I was really into like Lego Star Wars and like collecting stuff you guys can see behind me. And then when around like 2011, went to my first Star Wars celebration, that kind of sparked a whole new level, like the convention scene. And then I went again in Orlando in 2017 and then in Chicago in 2019. So it was a lot of fun. I actually covered this event for a different outlet at the time. And just, you know, really loved the whole property and have been following it ever since.
Great, man. And when it comes to The Mandalorian, when it comes to this last episode, I mean, people who grew up with, let's say, the Clone Wars the last decade, seeing Ahsoka in live action, it must have, you know, done something and made you feel a certain type of way. So give me an insight on that. Like when you saw that first opening sequence of Ahsoka, especially because directed by the brilliant Dave Filoni, like what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Clone Wars was kind of my bread and butter. It was kind of the thing that was the first new Star Wars content for me growing up. I kind of missed out on the prequels. So seeing Clone Wars, Ahsoka was obviously a big part of my love for Star Wars. And I'm a big fan of Dave Filoni and the work that he does. So being able to see her sort of come to live action through Rosario Dawson's really well done performance. There were certain moments in that episode for sure, with little smirks, little things that her and Dave must have worked on that I was like, this is Ahsoka. This is the character that I know and love through Clone Wars and Rebels and seeing her in all sorts of different iterations. Obviously, really thankful to what Ashley Eckstein did for the character during her vocal performances. But seeing that opening scene, seeing those white lightsabers in live action for the first time, you know, just seeing something so different. I mean, imagine being not someone who's familiar with Rebels and Clone Wars and seeing white lightsabers. You know, that's a whole new era of Star Wars for some people. And I think it was just really great to see that action piece open up and introduce one of my favorite characters, Ahsoka.
And, you know, it's interesting because when we talk about what you said, like the new fans that are coming to this franchise who are seeing Ahsoka for the first time and are seeing white lightsabers and are seeing, what is this? Who is this character? And they're going to go back and they're going to be now open to a wealth of new Star Wars materials that was maybe not privy to them before. If there's someone who only watched the, you know, theatrical releases, well, now you got hundreds of episodes of Clone Wars and Rebels to shift through, and now that's not even counting the supporting comics. So, Zion, talk to me about that. Talk to me about the new fans that might come as a result of Ahsoka coming in this episode.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, like you said, it's like a whole reservoir, a whole
legion of different material you can finally go through. I mean, as a Star Wars fan, you should be super excited, especially a newcomer who just started with the new sequel trilogy. I mean, there's just so much amazing content. I know, Shiraz, you, me, and Norm Samir, we've had, we started with the prequel trilogy. I mean, we saw Revenge of Sith in theaters, and that was like life-changing for us. We were obsessed with that movie, and we still are. It's our favorite Star Wars movie of all time. I mean, we're in love with those characters. We're in love with the prequel characters, and a lot of these new generation kids who only grew up with sequels, they only know about the originals and the sequels because those are more in line and tied together. And now with Mandalorian and showing Ahsoka in live action, they can have a little an exposure or a first look at what went on in the Clone Wars and the prequel trilogy, and have like a gateway to what that was all about. And maybe they'll find in them to want to explore more about that. And like you said, there's comics. You can go to the movies first, and obviously the Clone Wars TV show, which is just spectacular.
And Umar, you know, for you, the main thing when it comes to The Mandalorian and it comes to these shows, I mean, you're also someone who was generally more watching the theatrical films, but then when you got into Clone Wars, you kind of got to see that new wealth. For me, I know you're a big Anakin Skywalker fan, and how Ahsoka is tied to Anakin is such a big deal. So give me your thoughts right off the bat when you saw Ahsoka, and also that interpretation that Rosario Dawson put on for this episode.
Well, I think she did a great job, first of all. I think that, like Sean said, there's like little small things that actors can do that can really catch the part. And just the way she kind of took the character and kind of the little smirks, the even just like physically, like the power that she had, I think definitely, I think that plays definitely a huge role in making that, you know, when you're first tackling the character, you want to really make sure that you have these little nuances down. So that's one thing. And then, like you said, like a lot of us, we're prequel, you know, that was our first thing. So obviously, for me, like Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, like anything that's related to that world, obviously, in a big way, you know, we're fans in a big way about it. So there is definitely that kind of nostalgic feeling, even the way kind of the shots were, and kind of the tone, and also like the pacing was very, it reminded me a little bit of Revenge of the Sith, because at times it was kind of like mellow and slower, and at other times you have like a big action sequence out of nowhere, so it was taking people out, and it's wild. So it's just cool to see, you know, what's out there, what type of things these guys want to do in that sphere, and kind of tie things back, and what's related already to the prequel series. And Star Wars is kind of unique in the sense that, and I know like, the same case can be made for like characters like the Batman and Superman and all these different characters, but Star Wars is this very weird thing where the Skywalker kind of story, that whole 9-film arc, it generationally brings people together. Like you could literally have a conversation with a 50-year-old, and you can also have a conversation with a 10-year-old that's seen like the newer stuff. So it's just cool to kind of see how it's coming together and this new thing that's gonna happen.
Yeah, and I think there's something about like the fans who love this franchise and what it means to them and what it means from when they came in or whatnot. So I think that's something that goes a long way. And one thing that I think is interesting, and I will bring in two more team members in a second to discuss kind of that opening thing. But one thing that interests me about the show, about this episode, was those, you know, Kurosawa's, you know, seven. Am I losing my brain right now? What was so the seven samurai and six samurai. Am I losing? I'm having one of those like, you know, brain meltdowns. Jan, which one? What was it? Yeah, the seven samurai. So seeing those like interpretations, seeing those movements come through the screen, it's like you're bleeding through. And that's something about Dave Filoni we'll get into a little bit, about how he feels like someone who's like a steward of George Lucas's work, and he's carried on that legacy really well. So let's get back into Ahsoka. Let's talk about this character and talk about how two other fans of the show and of the franchise feel about it. So let's bring in the nerd queens. Let's bring Cole and Nana both in. Obviously, they need no introduction if you're part of the wider DC fandom, especially if you're in the the Snyder Cut movement, and you'll know that the work they did over the past 3-4 years has been amazing, and they're staples in this fandom, and you should check them out on their own platforms on the Nerd Queens and of course League of Mayhem, which is a brilliant platform to kind of put in the work. But Cole, Nana, talk to me. How did you feel about The Mandalorian, this last episode, The Jedi?
Okay, so I've been following the show. I know Nana hasn't, despite the fact I've been begging her to please watch it.
But not as religiously as you have, but I have been following it.
I mean, like, she doesn't even have to pay for Disney Plus. My dad lets her use our account, so. But so I've been into Star Wars since I was little. I don't even remember what it was that got me into Star Wars, because I think it was the, like you guys, it was the prequels, it was The Phantom Menace. And then my uncle introduced me to the original trilogy. So Star Wars has been a big part of my life since I was like maybe 5 years old. And like throughout the years, for the longest time, Luke was my favorite good guy. But then when Ahsoka was introduced in the Clone Wars series, it was love at first sight. Like, I instantly fell in love with her attitude, her hope for people, and how she just vibed so well with Anakin. Like, the fact that Yoda was like, by the way, you don't want a Padawan, but you're getting this one, was kind of like he was playing a matchmaker and found the perfect match for the two of them. And I've always loved Ahsoka. I love Ashley Eckstein, the actress who plays her, voice acting wise. So I was really stoked to see her on the show. And it was pretty good. It was really good. I really did like it. It was a little weird not hearing Ashley's voice this time around, because like I think I've watched Clone Wars and Rebels like 3 times all the way through, totally revealing how much of a super fan I am. And how little of a life I have. but I was so used to hearing Ashley's voice. So that was a little weird. And like the martial arts was amazing. The story was interesting. I found it very interesting that she decided not to help him, that she couldn't train him, because that's very not Ahsoka. Like, one of her most quoted lines is that she will always help people. And so I found that interesting. And given how the animated show Rebels ended, it's interesting to see how this all comes together and whatnot, and where we're going to go from here. I did have a bit of a struggle to enjoy it because of the investigation going on with Rosario Dawson for criminal allegations. So I was kind of like, it was like one of those, it was when you try to divorce the art from the artist, and like, you just like, you kind of like, you're excited, but you feel guilty about it. So there was that, but she did look really cool. And the one complaint I had was for any diehard fans, they would have noticed that her head tails were shorter than they were at the end of Rebels. And apparently that was because their stunt actress kept losing her balance with the headdress. So that explained a lot. But otherwise, she looked just like the animation. Like, they couldn't have done it better. So, like, if I try to, what do you call it, forget the fact that she has a criminal investigation for some really horrible stuff going on, then it was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty, I was excited. I couldn't help it. I was so excited. And also, I love Baby Yoda's name is Grogu.
So let's talk about Grogu a little bit. Nana, you could tell me, or either one of you actually, whoever. I think Nana, you can talk actually about it. And what do you think about the name? Like, what's your first thought about the name?
You know, actually, Cole and I, we spoke on this yesterday because we were discussing the episode, and we were obviously discussing Ahsoka and everything. And we both kind of agreed that we are sort of happy that it didn't start with Y. Like, we've seen, obviously, Yoda and Yaddle, they both had names starting with Y. So in a way, we were curious if that's how it's going to go, if you know, that's what, that there's going to be another Y name as far as Yoda species go, or if there's going to be a different name. And so it's a bit different. And I think that that was an interesting choice, and I like the name. I think it's cute. Somehow I think it fits him.
Yeah, it does. Like the way he responded to it, it seemed to fit him really well.
Right. So, I mean, I agree. I think it's very interesting. Baby Yoda is what we call child, and now Grogu. These three stages. I mean, I think Disney hit a gold mine with it, and
The merch is like selling like hotcakes. We know because we've been buying it.
Yeah, and I think I might have been wrong about this, but I think last year I think they said the child was more popular than anyone from The Rise of Skywalker. Like the Mandalorian versus The Rise of Skywalker, the Mandalorian was actually trending better with audiences all around, especially yeah. because of the child and how that account that character spoke with. I think you hit a different age group, you hit a different demographic, you're hitting people who even normally wouldn't be like, for example, my own mom, she loves The Mandalorian because of Baby Yoda, right? So, and now we have a name, Grogu, you get like an extra bit of attachment and you get more into it, the story going forward. And so let's move into speculation. I think, Sean, you're perfect for this because as Star Wars fans, talk about like what's going on in the story beats because Ahsoka mentioned that, you know, she's not going to be the one who trains Grogu, but there might be a Jedi who would. And so we're thinking about this timeline, we're thinking about who's around to train Grogu if someone was to come, right? So in my mind, you think, okay, you got Luke, you got Leia, obviously Ahsoka, Ezra's still out there. We don't know what the situation is with him. There's some rumors about Mace Windu. Maybe if he's alive, you might make that star cameo appearance with Sam Jackson. Give me your thoughts on that. Like, if in your head, when you heard that line, what was the first Jedi that came to mind?
So hearing that line, for sure, I think that all the names you listed, Mace Windu did not come to mind, but I know that's a big fan speculation. I know people want Samuel L. Jackson to come back and Mace Windu to be returned to the Star Wars universe. One of the characters you didn't mention, I'm not sure if this is who my personal pick would be, but Cal Kestis from the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order video game. As a character who I would assume is still around by this point. As for who is going to be training Grogu, I actually kind of have the not fun answer. If the show decides to use a Jedi, I do think it'll be Ezra. But I do think that the show currently is setting up for the goal of like Grogu's going to sit on top of this stone at the top of this temple. Someone might reach out, a really cool cameo in Ezra, a Luke, something that like fans will really enjoy. But I think the show is kind of heading down a path where I think we learned this with Ahsoka a little bit, is Grogu wants to stay with Mando. And I think that we're going to realize through this process that Grogu is a character who is obviously wise beyond his years because he is 50 years old, even though he can't speak and he, you know, comes off as this baby figure. And I think we're going to find out that he's going to want to stay and develop this relationship with Din Djarin and continue as sort of this lone wolf and the cub story. I don't see them separating at any point during the show. I think that by introducing any more Jedi characters to come take the character of Grogu away, it's just going to kind of, again, show that these two are meant to be together, and whether or not Din helps Grogu in any way that he can sort of develop these powers, or if he just decides to keep him and protect over him until Grogu can kind of go off on his own.
Right. And I think one thing, the reason I bring up Mace Windu, number one, because we're, like Zion said, we're obsessed with the prequels, and so because of that, we're gonna want any prequel character to show up. But you know, there's some small lines, like I said, oh, he was taken away before Order 66 and hidden. So I'm thinking, like, who's gonna do it? You know, like, who would be the one who hides them? I'm thinking, listen, if I mean Jedi have survived worse, you know, if a chopped arm, a little bit of lightning, and thrown off a 1 million story building, I don't know if that's gonna be enough to.
I mean, look at Darth Maul. He got cut in half, thrown into the rubbish, dumped on a trash planet, and then he went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for a few years, and then he got a robot bottom legs. Mace Windu was a Jedi master on level with Yoda. I think he could definitely survive losing a limb, being electrocuted, and just yeeted across the city. I think he would... Like that was my first ever foray into fan fiction was writing about Mace Windu surviving, because I always thought he survived.
Yeah,
but I totally agree what you were saying. I don't really think it's gonna be a case of anyone coming to train him, except maybe Mace. I was thinking, like, now that you bring up Mace Windu, I think maybe like if he did show up, maybe he's been hiding on Tython, and because that's the original planet of the Jedi. And so maybe he's been hiding there, or maybe this will be a case like with Obi-Wan at the end of Revenge of the Sith, that he learns from a ghost how, you know, learns from Ghost Qui-Gon how to like transcend death. So maybe it'll be a case like that, or it could be really anything. I mean, if Ezra comes back, then that means Thrawn is back. So then they have to go into that whole like uncharted space and everything where they disappear to. So that's a lot of plot they would have to work through. But I feel like we're going to see Tython within the next episode, possibly.
Yeah, I think Mandalorian, they have a way they'll tease something. They're going to take a couple of episodes to get there. They're going to fall to some filler here and there to make their way to the main area. I was thinking, like, it'd have to be a Jedi who knows that Grogu is more important than, let's say, other Padawans at the time, which is kind of morbid to say that, but like, if you had to save someone, why would you save him versus any other Padawan kid? So it's like, I'd be interested to see who hit him away and who was that in terms of importance to the overall Star Wars lore. But you know, Cole, you mentioned Thrawn, and Thrawn was obviously name dropped. It was a big name drop at the end of the episode, and it falls right in line with Rebels. And we saw in the end of Rebels that Ahsoka will be looking with Sabine, yes, they'll be looking for Ezra, right? So that's something. I don't know if that's something they're saving for the Mandalorian, or if this is a backdoor for another limited series about centering just on Ahsoka. But yeah, go ahead.
I know there was rumor that I don't think it was the last Disney convention, but before the last season was premiered, that they were working on an Ahsoka Sabine story of their journey to find Ezra. So it would be interesting if they do end up doing that, but like, it would be animated. But I do like how they're slowly tying in the animated and the real live action together.
And Sean, what were your thoughts on Thrawn when you heard that name? Like, what were some of the storylines jumping in your head of where you want to see it go?
Yeah, I mean, I think same here. Just it was the obvious route. And I think them mentioning Thrawn over Ezra, like, that makes a more sense of a connection of her asking for Thrawn's coordinates, because he has obviously more connections in a known space. And then in terms of just like setting up a sequel series, you know, we've heard rumor from some pretty reputable sources at this point that we're kind of still be getting an animated Rebels sequel, and there's also going to be something live action in development, and sort of how those two things fall into place. Real quick, I'll add that the next animated series we're getting is The Bad Batch, who were introduced at the end of season 7. I think they make really good candidates right now for the characters that took Baby Yoda from the temple. I think that that's something that Filoni has his hand in, something that's really easy to transition to, and sort of see how they have play a role in Order 66 and getting Jedi out of the temple, possibly. But as for Thrawn and Ezra, I mean, I hope to see their story continued more so in animation, but at the way it's looking, I think season 3 of Mandalorian and maybe a live action series is imminent for those characters.
Right. And it's interesting, but these characters, a lot of them are great. And I think what they've done with the Mandalorian, I think, is they know that they hit something that's like, okay, this is something you could develop and keep developing going forward. And now we know, with the Obi-Wan series coming out and other shows, like they're going to make the most of Disney Plus, and they're going to make the most of using the partnership between Disney Plus and Lucasfilm to bring some crazy stuff. And
I'm here for it.
Same. I'm also here for it. So
I have a question for you guys. When you heard the name Thrawn, did an actor who you would like to see play him pop into your head?
I would like Lars Mikkelsen to just reprise Ooh. The voice actor, because he already voices him and he looks Very enough cool. like Thrawn. The more characters you can transition from animation to live action, obviously they did it with Katie Sackhoff and Bo-Katan. The more you can do that, I think will appease a lot of fans. And as long as it works, you know, physically, I wish they did it with Ashley, but for reasons that we don't have to go into, they didn't. But I think that Lars Mikkelsen can obviously play a good Thrawn. He looks like him. I think that can work.
Right.
Very true. And I didn't think of that.
Go ahead. And I think, again, let's talk some more pie in the sky and thinking about what kind of characters can show up, because that's, I think, something that's fan speculation when it comes to Star Wars. I think what makes it. And kind of thinking about who can reprise their role, who can come back, what's going to go on there. So, Umar, you know, I'm going to hit you with this last one to wrap us up on the Star Wars side. What do you think about Luke Skywalker showing up? If Luke Skywalker would show up, do you think it's something that Mark Hamill would reprise his role, maybe digitally de-age him, or do you think someone else can take over? What are you thinking on that side? If Luke Skywalker was the one they wanted to bring in?
Well, I know a lot of fans have kind of put up the, you know, Sebastian Stan and Mark Hamill, young Mark Hamill pictures together, and they're like, yo, this guy can do it. But honestly, I think that, you know, having Luke come back, the thing is that we've seen a lot of Luke Skywalker now with the trilogy that we just had. I think you could still bring him back in some type of way. Like, he could still be there in some type of way. I just feel like it would be better to maybe give the main, it would be better to bring kind of a, you know, give some other character a shot to kind of in the limelight. That would be kind of the way I would go about it. But again, you can never go wrong.
Are you on the Mace Windu train though? Because I've been on it.
I am on that train.
That's cool. Like, sorry.
Look at that. It's crazy. It's wild.
That's all I'm saying. I want to see him back. That's something that I'm definitely down for.
So, I think.
Go ahead.
Just one last point. I think in terms of him showing as an actor, I don't think it's less of a chance, but him being the voice that reaches out in the temple is possible, maybe, and he'll say that, you know, since there's peace, there's no real reason to even train a Jedi this earlier at this point, because obviously we know he does start training young Jedis years down the line before episode 7, but this soon after the Empire is defeated, maybe it's like, it's a time for peace, so he tells them, or in one way or another, he talks to Grogu through his voice, and I think having Mark Hamill that way will be much more possible than him coming physically and being de-aged, or even choosing a separate actor, and
or even kind of one of those face, hollow messages where they could use his figure probably from like when he sent a message to Jabba the Hutt. They could easily take that and like rework it a little bit just so his lips move differently. Like, even if they did it that way, because if anyone else played Luke Skywalker, I think there would be a revolt. Like, I like the whole Sebastian Stan idea, but. And they do look similar, but at the same time, like the moment you said that, I was scandalized. And what Omar was saying, though, the one thing I would like Luke to come back for is just to like for him and Ahsoka to meet, so Ahsoka can find out that Anakin did come back to the light.
No, I just that'd be important.
I saw a fan comic about it, and I cried.
That would be awesome. I just want to thank you guys for joining us again. I'm going to head out. But you guys stay. You guys have fun. There's still like 30-some minutes left. I got some work to do, so I got to leave. But it was great to have you on, Sean, Cole, Nana. And Tamir jumps in at some point. But yeah, thanks for joining us. And see you guys around.
All right, Omar. All right, we lost one bro, and then Samir is having technical difficulties till to this point. But it's okay. We still got one. We got two bros, and we got three CBD members. What more could you need, right? So let's talk about one more thing about Mandalorian now that it comes to mind, because you can also – I don't know if the fans would like this, or if they're going to feel like, oh, it's maybe too early for it. But like the meeting – if we're talking Force Ghosts, I mean the meeting between Yoda and Grogu could be interesting as well if you want to reprise – Frank Oz, get Yoda to speak to Grogu, you know, species to species, and see how that works. I don't know if that's something that would be in the play, but it'd be interesting.
Did you know that there's this big, since he was already living at the temple and whatnot, there's this big theory going around that Yoda and Yaddle got together and Grogu's their child. Like, if they were, I like it, but I'm kind of like, eh. But it would actually make a lot of sense because, like, the child was literally born at the temple then. And also, like, then Yoda would definitely have a huge reason to, like, come say hi, at least. I think he might, with how they had him pop up in, like, literally every Star Wars movie on the main storyline. I think they might have him pop up, especially to talk to one of his own.
I think that'd be interesting. And of course, there's so many theories, like what Grogu is. Is he a clone? Is he some experiment, something like that? Because of how the Empire has been kind of focused on him
A clone? I haven't heard that one, but you just
like a clone of Yoda or something. I don't know, but a lot of like weird theories that, you know, are popping up about what this creature could be. But I think it's pretty, I think it'd be interesting. I think people, the amount of new fans that just got into Clone Wars and Rebels just from one episode of Mandalorian, that's what makes me most happy, because you want new fans. You want people who are like, whoa, what have I been missing? And then go back and then experience so much Star Wars. You can have months of Star Wars right there just based on the thing you've been missing. But well, any last thoughts on Mandalorian? Let me know. Anyone?
Well, that's what makes the Mandalorian so beautiful. So far, we've seen elements from the new movies. Not the newest movies, of course, but like from the original trilogy, the prequels, the shows, we've seen like literally everything has been brought in to give everyone a little something. And that's what really, I think that's why it's so successful, not just because of how amazing Baby Yoda is, but because like, I feel like fans from who have a preference for either side of like prequels or sequels, or if they like the show more, etc., I feel like they can sit down and find something to enjoy.
Well said.
Yeah, I think Cole made a really good point. And I think as we kind of look ahead here, there's only 3 episodes left, which is crazy to think about already. You got 6, 7, and 8. And if you go off the method of last season, sort of the last 2 episodes being a little bit of a two-parter, I think we get some sort of filler, sort of like some sort of bridge episode next week. And then we get to the temple. And there'll be some sort of show-off with that new Beskar spear against Moff Gideon as Grogu is maybe locked inside the temple. And I think that that's kind of how we wrap up the season. We get that Jedi cameo at the end of whoever it may be. And really excited to see kind of how it all pans out.
Good stuff. And we can now, I think, transition outside of Mandalorian and get back to DC and see what's going on the DCEU side. Sean, are you sticking around for the DC stuff? What's going on with you?
I'm going to dip out, but I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. It's always good to talk Star Wars. Nerd Queens, it was an honor to speak with you two as well. And hopefully we get to do like something like this again.
Definitely.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Cool. So let's jump into Joker. I think there's been a lot of talk about Joker and kind of what his role could be, what the character could look like. There's been all types of speculation and rumors and just things that you could say, things that we can't say. So we can stick to the speculation side of it in terms of what we want to see Zack Snyder's Joker look like. I think not look like, but do, because every director puts their spin on Joker, you know. So we've had so many great ones. I would say every single one is great, honestly. But now you're getting to the point where it's like, okay, what will Zack do with this character? Because what Zack does with every other character is different and unique, and it puts a stamp that, okay, this was a Snyder version of the character. So even though this version of the character is obviously part of the Ayer family of Suicide Squad characters, I'll probably get Nana into this. What do you think about Joker? And when you hear Joker in the Snyder Cut, what kind of thoughts come in your mind of what the potential of this could be?
So, I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, you know, Joker is mainly from the Suicide Squad part of the universe, and Ayer was the one who kind of introduced the character to us. But that said, we've also seen a hint of Joker back in Batman v Superman. We have seen the Robin suit after basically the events of Joker helping to Robin's death. We wouldn't even know how it played out really in this universe, because as far as we know, based on what Zach confirmed, it's not the same Robin as it is in Death in a Family. So this is, instead of Jason, we are facing Bruce losing Dick Grayson and losing him to Joker in some fashion. And I personally would be really curious to see if, you know, if that storyline goes in a similar way, or if it's been different. And there is obviously the repercussions of that carry on into the Suicide Squad, with the story that, you know, Bruce or Batman beat out Joker's teeth out. So we see some influence on Joker's looks, even, you know, from Batman v Superman carrying on into the Suicide Squad. But then now that we know Joker is going to be in Zack Snyder's Justice League, it makes you think, okay, which place in the story does he take? Is it in the past? Are we looking at a flashback? Or are we looking into the future, into the nightmare scenes? Or are we looking into the present? And I think that can influence a lot on how Joker is going to look, what his look is going to be like. And we know from Zack's interview with Grace Randolph that the Joker look has been changed a bit from, you know, from the Suicide Squad. So he has a different look. I have seen so much really cool art on Twitter since that interview came out, because people, you know, obviously people are going wild with their imagination and everything. I have a couple that I find really interesting. I think my favorite ones are of Nightmare Joker. I think that if that is the version that we get, I think there is a lot of space for Joker to like evolve, especially visually, and we can get something absolutely amazing, because we know that if there is one thing that Zack is really good, is it's visuals and it's how his characters look. And I am genuinely curious of how Joker is going to look like in Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Well said. Zian, jumping off Nana's point, like talking about how Dick Grayson is probably is going to be the Joker, not the Joker. Dick Grayson is going to be the Robin that was killed by the Joker, which it was obviously a different, it's a different take, but also it's something that's unique and it's very, it's on Zack's brand. Like I think that's something that definitely comes to mind. So when you tie it all together and some of the rumors about kind of what Joker might be, especially in the nightmare sequence, what he might be in different areas of this limited series, what is your most excitement? Because you are the resident Batman fan.
I mean, like Nana said, obviously the design is one thing you're going to be looking forward to a lot, because as far as all of Snyder's designs, what he's worked on, from Superman to Batman to Wonder Woman, they've all been just amazing, amazing designs. And to have this nightmare Joker type design, I mean, we know in Suicide Squad, he's a very well set, very like prim, very like his design is, in terms of like his character, he's obviously the most like successful, I guess you'd say, Joker in terms of like money and how much he has and how much kind of power he has in Gotham. So obviously he dresses the part as well in very expensive suits and very designer type clothes, I guess you'd say. I mean, he has a Lamborghini. I mean, that kind of shows his wealth. And a nightmare Joker would probably be like the complete opposite of that, where you're in this like war-torn world where, you know, humanity is basically fighting for their survival against this existential threat that is Superman. So the design is obviously one thing that'll be super sick. And also just jumping off Nana's point, where some of this fan art that people have been making are just so amazing. And if it's even a sliver of what that is, that what Zack puts out, I think it'll be something so amazing, cool to see. The things I'm looking forward to the most are like the interactions between Joker and Batman, because like we all touched upon, we know what he did to Robin, and how will Bruce put that aside? How will we see that relationship and their teamwork in the movie against Superman, or against in this nightmare world? How will that play into the past and what happened between them?
I like to always think that the idea that, you know, you have to be in a very dark place. And for Bruce, I mean, if it's literally the apocalypse, it's the end of the world, and everybody, the most of the population of humanity is probably dead. I mean, he's already a dark character, but at that point, he's probably at the end of his rope. So to be at the point where you're going to work with literally your greatest enemy up to this point, was something that's a dynamic that we've never seen. And when Zack talked about that conversation he had with Jared Leto, I think he talked about it on Dave's stream, but and kind of how when he pitched it to him, like you could, Zack mentioned that Jared's like, you could tell he got it. He's like, okay, this is something different that he would come back for, even if it's just a few seconds, if it's something, just something really quick that happens, to come back to the role, especially after now 4 years of being away from it, it's a big deal. And it's something that he would only do if he's very much into it. So Cole, I mean, take us home on this topic. Like, what are your thoughts, number one, on Joker? What are you most excited to see when it comes to Zack Snyder putting his handprint on the character, but also kind of the potential this character has in this little universe that Zack has?
So I definitely think that he's going to be leaning towards the nightmare Joker, like, because Zach has said in interviews that we're going to be seeing a little bit more of that. And like in the trailer itself, we saw that Bruce has literally lost like all of his friends. At least that's what they're heavily implying with like the broken Hall of Justice and all of those weapons lying around. So he's basically got no one to like rely on. And I think that in Nightmare, he'll be at a point where it's like he's gone so far and lost so much that the only thing he'll see is to join up with Joker. And I think what you were saying was the perfect, that he was powerful in Gotham. He had the whole crime boss thing going. But then I think that would still translate a bit into this apocalyptic world, because in Nightmare, it's implied that like everything was going okay and then the world ended, like any apocalypse story. So with a Nightmare Joker, I think that he would have still had his followers. I think they might have, like Superman's fans, would have became more culty as they went into the Nightmare story. And I think that's why Bruce is going to think, all right, this is my only choice. Because I think that Joker is going to have more people behind him who are crazy enough to fight for him. And that's why he's going to reach out for help. As far as looks go, I just checked Jared Leto's Instagram, and he's really good at hiding his when he, like, if he wants you to know he's working on something, he'll let you know. Like with Suicide Squad, he was always posting selfies with green hair, but he's been shaved recently with long hair. So I think the fan art of Nightmare Joker with long hair might be leaning towards what Zach's gonna do, possibly. I can't wait to see what Zach does with him, whether it be Nightmare or anything, because like you guys said, like literally every iteration of the characters he's done has been beautiful in its own unique way.
Yeah, and like one of the comments you mentioned, Deathstroke will also be getting that Nightmare treatment. I mean, for those who've been kind of looking into it, and the photo that Zach gave Joe to throw up during Us United, he had a different hairstyle. He had a slightly different look with the mohawk. It's not the look that he had in the sequence he's going to be with Lex Luthor. So, I mean,
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, so unless he's going to get a quick hairdo change midway of that conversation, you would think he's going to show up another time, you know, in another sequence maybe. So
there'll be a transition scene where he's at the barber. Quick shave my head.
All right.
I think what's interesting about Joker, as far as like his story arc goes in Snyderverse or whatever we want to call it, is the fact that we don't really know much about him. The most we really know about who Joker was, as far as his past goes, is not so much from Suicide Squad as it is from the Batman v Superman, given that one small cameo where we didn't actually even see him. And I think that what I'm really interested in is seeing the whatever Joker scenes there are in Zack Snyder's Justice League, not only because obviously I'm curious about the film, but also because it can show us a little bit more about Jared Leto's Joker. We don't really know what his Joker is like, aside from very, you know, surface level kind of knowledge, because so much of him was cut out of air cut of Suicide Squad. And it's just, you know, I think that it'll be interesting to see. I think there is a whole different side of Jared Leto's Joker that nobody has seen yet, and we will get to see it hopefully in the spring. Or whenever.
On that note, I think we'll also learn about more about Batfleck too, because they've always been in that eternal dance.
Yeah, I think the one thing we all want is more Batman. Ben Affleck and Jared Leto having a scene where they're face to face and talking. I mean, the Suicide Squad screen, obviously the car chase, it was great, but seeing those two actors just speaking to each other, even if it's for a small sequence, even if it's your Nightmare alternate timeline future. That's something you want, because that moment of Joker and Batman meeting, whether it's Keaton or Bale versus Ledger, you want to see that, you know. And of course, Keaton and today is one of those dates, you know. Jack Nicholson, yeah. So Sunday night, I'm already kind of like, you know, it's a weekend brain, and you gotta jump into weekday brain. So I'm in my I'm in the weekend brain right now, but that moment between every Joker and every Batman, it's a special moment. And that's something that I want to see between Ben Affleck and Jared Leto, because Ben Affleck is the favorite Batman for so many fans. And you and Jared Leto, despite people might have reservations about it, they might come in with a little strong, but no one forgets it. And people always say it's unique, you know, whether you like it or not, it's unique and it's different. And seeing a unique Batman with a unique Joker is what you want as a DC fan, especially with Jim Lee and what he's doing with his multiverse stuff. I mean, it's bigger than ever. And then you can have Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, you know, contending for an Oscar last year. And now you're going to see post-apocalyptic Joker standing side by side with Batman. I mean, that's it's what else can you want as a fan, right? So
like just imagining how they would talk to each other, it just gives me chills, because like I want that so badly.
Right. I think one of our good friends, Sue at Soups Batsy, he put out his art, Joker art, and he put like his own kind of fan dialogue with it there. And I was reading that in their voices. I'm like, yeah, if obviously a fan can bring chills with his voices, imagine you get a Chris Terrio on that script, on that dialogue, and you see what can come out of it. And then you see, okay, there's some crazy stuff going to happen. Right. So, Cole and Anna, you know, I appreciate you guys so much for jumping on. Let's take a few minutes, talk about League of Mayhem, talk about projects you have coming up, talking about our partnership with Comic Book Debate. Obviously, if you guys haven't already heard, both Cole and Nana are part of the CBD family now. So they're going to be collaborating with us on all types of projects, both in writing and content creating. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, working together, I think the sky's honestly the limit what we can do. And some of the stuff that might come your way in 2021 from this partnership would be pretty cool. So I'm really excited for that. But you guys have the floor right now. Kind of tell me what you have coming up, projects you're working on, what's going on.
Anything else? As you mentioned, our biggest ongoing thing right now, or thing that just barely started but kind of exploded, is the League of Mayhem, which is a live stream that we started about 2 months ago. And the goal there was, you know, we wanted, so for us, for Cole and I, ever since we entered this fandom, we noticed the one thing, and that is that there was a lack of female and even people of color in, you know, live streaming and making videos and making content for this fandom. And we felt like, you know, hey, here we are. We are having fun with it. We want to do something with it. So let's, you know, let's try and change it. And one of our first things was that we did a segment on podcast called Snyder's Amazons, which we got a bunch of girls together and we were dissecting Zack Snyder's movies. That one is not very regular. It still exists, but the episodes come out very, very rarely because we have a hard time getting together. But kind of from there, we got to the point where we were like, well, let's try live streaming. And that's how League of Mayhem came to be. And we invited a bunch of, we think, amazing women that we've met in the fandom. You know, girls like Jonita Davis, who is a great journalist, and she has amazing insight as well. She's been very helpful. Obviously, it was us and Meg who put it together. You know, we brought Fabma on, which is one of, like, I think that she has so much potential and so much talent, and she can do so much. We brought girls like Chelsea on. Again, you know, girls that maybe not have been heard of in the fandom, but they actually have a lot to bring in and they have a lot of potential. And we were trying to also expand to international fans. So we have girls like Lorena, who's from Spain, you know, and just kind of bring the group together, show new faces. And it's our goal with this stream, as well as bringing in interesting guests, hopefully. I mean, we've had Zack Snyder on, thankfully. He was really kind of
interesting.
Twice. He's been kind of interesting.
Showing off.
No, that's not the goal, for once. No, as well as bringing like big guests on, we'd like to bring in more and more, obviously, girls, and sort of do it in a way that the stream serves as sort of like a comfort zone for them. Hey, you know, I want to try this. Let's try this. And then hopefully, you know, some of them at least will go on and do their own thing. And they will expand this network of, you know, streamers and create content creators within the fandom, because I think that's really important to have. And there is a lot of amazing women in the fandom, and their voices should be heard. And that's what the goal for League of Mayhem is.
Well said, well said. And the second I heard about it, when I saw the first stream, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is going to be special. And I wanted to see how far it can grow and how fast it can grow, because it's gonna explode, because obviously the voices you're bringing on are basically have limitless potential. And everyone you name, they can make it big on their own right. And whether it be that they use League of Mayhem to launch their own platforms, or they launch their own platforms and then grow with League of Mayhem, that kind of synergy is what we do with Comic Book Debate. And we love doing that as well, where when we see someone else building their platform, I'm like, okay, this is great. How can we amplify them, get it bigger? So seeing what you guys are doing is inspiring. And really, we really appreciate you guys for the work that you do. And we're going to keep rooting for you. And of course, with our partnership, there's a lot of fun stuff ahead.
That means a lot coming from you guys.
Appreciate it. All right, Cole, Nana, thank you so much for joining us. You're always free to stop by anytime. And we're going to talk some more cool topics. Justice League, we'll definitely see you.
Great. Bye. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So it's just me and Zion now, but from the, you know, when you light the bat signal, what we call the smear signal, you know, we're gonna light it. Is he coming? Is he coming yet? And lo and behold, you know, Samir is coming through, and here he is. Samir, what's going on? We're 10 minutes. There's 9 minutes left on the stream. I'm looking at the
time. Wi-Fi was very bad today. I don't know what was happening, bro. It was just not working.
You missed everything, but we'll hit you up with one.
First, like, you know, what do you want? You got Telus, Roger? Like, what kind of internet provider you got? Dude, you got to switch from Roger, man. Roger isn't the one anymore. Now there's Telus.
I can't hear a thing you're saying right now. Your mic is just bad.
It's fine. Oh, I think that, can you hear me, Samir?
Barely.
All right. Well, I was thinking that since Umar is not here, we'll take these last 9 minutes and we'll do a quick round. I'm going to ask Samir what he thinks about Ahsoka, seeing Ahsoka in Mandalorian, then we'll jump to something fun. So, Samir, when you saw the last episode of Mandalorian, what did you think about seeing Ahsoka on the big screen?
I thought Ahsoka's, you know, her role, her reveal was too sick. Just her presence was sick. Not even the time she was talking. She was like, every time she was just standing around, it was crazy. And when she was talking to Baby Yoda, the music was going crazy. I think this was the best Mandalorian episode so far. Of course, the show overall has been mid so far, but this is really bringing it over the top. Not gonna lie. Also, it's getting me really excited for the Obi-Wan series, seeing how they're gonna handle that, because Disney Plus is kind of following through on this Star Wars stuff.
No, I feel you. And so, like I said, Umar's not here. We can talk about topics that normally, if Umar was here, he'd be like, yo, why are you talking about this? So Attack on Titan is coming back next Sunday. So and we only have about 5 minutes left on the stream, so we could talk about it. So Samir, this is your chance to tell us that you put us on Attack on Titan. Did you want to take that respect?
I put them on everything, you know.
Everything.
I don't know what they were watching before, like JoJo or something. I don't know what they were
watching. Listen, we trade anime back and forth, but Umar unfortunately hasn't jumped on that boat yet, but the three of us definitely do. I think you guys saw our, we had a podcast of our top five anime, which is constantly changing. Even from then, it's probably been completely outdated from what we would say now. So things have changed, but Attack on Titan, it's coming back for season 4, the final season. It's a new studio, but so far the trailer, everything looks good. So Zion, for you, like, what are you most excited to see? Disclaimer ahead, Zion and I are the anime only watchers, so we haven't jumped ahead on the manga to see what's been happening. But what are you most excited for in season 4?
I mean, just see how it plays out. Obviously, things are looking very bleak. It's just them, few people going to the actual true world that they've been hidden from, hidden from so long and basically doomed to die on, and seeing how everything fares out. I mean, we know Aaron has like a Frodo complex going on right now. So it honestly reminds you of Frodo a lot because of his burden and what he has as the attack on as the attack titan. And you know what's going to happen to him. They said that you only live like a certain amount of years once you are the attack titan. So, or any of those main titans. And we'll just see how that goes. I mean, if it does play out like Lord of the Rings, I wouldn't be surprised where in the end he kind of goes off into his death. Obviously, hopefully in a good way. I mean, all you want a good ending for these characters. Obviously, they're amazing characters. And, you know, the way the show has been so far, things have been very grim, obviously. So I wouldn't be surprised if it went that direction too. But, you know, hopefully at least the main cast of characters will get somewhat of a happy ending. But
no, I wouldn't hold my breath either. And Samir, as someone who's actually read through and you're mostly caught up, is that anywhere near the ballpark of what's going to happen?
I mean, I've only read some of the what's to come. And, you know, I'm excited to see the new Titans in the trailer. But obviously not going to spoil anything. But of course, it's a dark show. And that's what makes it good. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I think the idea of this kind of it's like the Game of Thrones on steroids, but for anime, and the popularity of it is absolutely insane. I mean, this is a show that everybody's watching, and it's completely international. Like when I see like when a new episode drops, like everybody is it's trending. Everyone's talking about it, and very few like anime doesn't always do that. You gotta have like a real gem that it starts trending on a more general audience level. So Attack on Titan will do it. We saw Demon Slayer did it last year. But talking about Attack on Titan, actually, I'm very excited as well. I'm actually in a different boat than Zion. Even though I'm with him that you should hold your breath on a happy ending, I definitely think it's going to be like the worst type of endings for these characters. I think we're not headed towards some kind of a resolution where it's good. If anything, I feel like Aaron is on a pathway where he's more going to be like Frodo. When the moment that Frodo looks at Sam and says, you know, the ring is mine, and he walks away. Like, I feel we're headed towards that with Aaron, where, like, he's not going to be even a good guy, maybe. Like, this is the kind of character who might let it get to its head, and then you got to have, like, either Armin or Mikasa, like, just kill him or something. Like, that's kind of where if I had a fan theory, like, I would go there, like, where things would like, escalate to the point where it'd get that bad. But let's talk about the new studio, because the new studio is taking over, so obviously they're going to follow the manga to a T. And the manga is not completely finished, but they're going to follow it to a T, and they're not going to make too many errors. But is anyone here kind of nervous that they change studios or animation studios, or you think it's going to be fine both ways?
Listen, I think we've seen the last time in recent memory they've changed studios, which was with One Punch Man. And season one, obviously it's not a perfect show, but season one at least was a fun show, and it was fun to watch, and Saitama was obviously a fun character. But season two, after, I don't know if it was because of the change or they're just the pace is very slow, but it was just such a bad season. I mean, for one, Saitama was barely in the show for most of it. All the episodes, he was like either gone or doing something else, and it was just so bad and so boring. I mean, unless I don't know what was going behind the scenes, I don't know if that was like the idea to make it so slow or slow paced, because absolutely nothing happened. So, thing of that, like that's the fear I have with Attack on Titan. Can this new studio change mess it up? I know it's just for animation, but I don't know how much more control they have. And though the designs look sick for the Attack on Titan, the characters, but the animation, you can see it does look a little different. And I don't know. We'll have to see how it looks. Obviously, when it comes out, we'll see it's pure HD quality. But you can tell it's kind of different.
I don't think the studio change will make that big a difference. I think it'll still be okay. But unless they pulled the Game of Thrones ending, you know, season 7, 8, the terrible Game of Thrones ending type thing, then it'll be bad. But I'm fairly confident in it.
Look at this photo again. We see that. I mean, I like the designs. I mean, these costumes are honestly sick. And me and Samir were talking about this morning that, I mean, everyone looks great, and the character models are great. So it looks like we're headed towards obviously a time skip of I don't know how many years, but there's going to be a time skip between where we last saw them. At the beach, at seeing the water for the first time, and then where we're gonna meet them here. And from the trailer, I mean, you see that there's new characters being introduced in the beginning. We're gonna see a different group of characters. Probably gonna see the other side of the story, because we've been so focused on the Titans and the gloom and doom, but the other side of who's sending in these guys and where they're coming from and Reiner and where you guys came from. I think that's what I'm most interested in seeing. Like, these guys are really cool. Like, and Reiner and the other guy was a Belter. Yeah. So they hearing their story. I'm thinking about the meme video where they tried pronouncing it a million different times. So, but those two characters, I think what obviously one is dead now, but seeing where Reiner goes in the story is something I'm personally very interested about, and seeing where his character arc ends, because he's someone who I think that, because of his, like, they touched on his mental health and touching on kind of him bouncing between two personalities and how he got completely embedded into being, you know, part of the Survey Corps. So it'll be interesting to see of how it goes. But I digress. We didn't get to touch on all our topics today, but we're going to touch on most of them. Let's quickly go through a couple of comments and we'll call it a day. What's going on, brother? We appreciate you. You do a good show yourself, so we like what you do. Keep it up. And and appreciate that, Wells, man. We want to keep doing some big stuff with our platforms, and Cole and I definitely agree as well with the Doan League of Mayhem. So there's a lot to come by. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen in the future, both with Comic Debate, but also with this live stream. And we want to see if you guys are enjoying it, seeing the process. You saw how it is. We brought some guests in from Comic Book Debate, but we have a lot of plans, and we're just, you know, the train is moving. It's moving, but there's a lot of stuff going on. What's going on? What's going on, bro? So there's a lot of stuff going on that I think you guys will be very excited for. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take. What happens to me? Now you're going to laugh, right? So we're gonna end this one on laughing for sure. So what else more to say? I think there's not much to say anymore, because we're going to end this on laughing it off. This is why you need Umar on the stream, because Umar keeps us kind of like centered. He's going to keep it like, yo. But with Samir and Sian, we lost both of them. It's over. It's over. So I'm alone now, so I'm just going to – you can at least mute yourself, Samir, you know what I'm saying?
Love that.
All right, we're good? So, okay, we're going to end it here, because we've jumped off the boat now of what the stream is going to be. But let us know in the comments, what do you guys think about Ahsoka Tano coming back in The Mandalorian? Do you think there's going to be another limited series on the way on that end? What do you think about Joker in Zack Snyder's Justice League? What do you think about his look? What do you think is going to happen there? There's a couple of more topics we're going to be touching on next week. We didn't touch on it this week, like favorite Thanksgiving movies. We're going to touch on Godzilla vs. King Kong. We didn't touch on these topics. We took our time through the main A block and B block, but next week, we're going to come back with the heat. So from myself, from Zian, from Samir, because Umar's gone, and Zian, he's probably gone to this point. This is the Faruqi Brothers. We'll meet next time with our Built Different stream. Peace out.